This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Old houses have a way of holding on to their secrets, don't they? They sit quietly through the years, collecting memories, emotions, and if you believe the stories, maybe even a few restless souls. Our story today takes us to an old boarding house in Scarborough, UK. Built in 1887, it had all the charm you'd expect from a historic building, and maybe just a little more than one student bargained for. When our storyteller first arrived, everything seemed perfectly normal. Warm roommates, a cozy bed, and the excitement of a new chapter in life. But soon enough, she began to realize that not everyone in the house was on the student roster. It started with a dream about a girl with long brown hair and a strange connection to the past. But dreams have a way of lingering in places like these. And as you'll soon hear, this wasn't just the kind of dream you shake off with a cup of coffee the next morning. The story unfolds slowly, with strange noises, flickering lights, and a bathroom shower that seems to have a mind of its own. And just when you think it's all in her imagination, she catches sight of a half-visible figure, a young girl staring at her with a mixture of anger and sadness. It's not the first time this ghostly presence has made herself known, and it probably won't be the last. So what happens when a spirit, left behind in the echoes of an old war, reaches out to the living? And what do you do when the only message the ghost seems to send is this, "Don't forget me"? Well, get comfortable, folks. This is going to be a good one. Dear Tony, this is a true story from my time at a boarding school in Scarborough, UK. It's been years, but I still think about it, especially when I wonder what that girl wanted. The house I stayed in was an old one, built in 1887 on Filey Road. It had a warm, cozy atmosphere, and when I arrived, I was greeted by three friendly roommates who had already picked their beds. The only bed left, the one that became mine, was near the door, backed against a section of wall that looked like an old fireplace painted over and sealed off. At first, things were normal. We went about our school routines, made friends, and had late-night talks. Then one night, early in the term, I had a dream that changed everything. In the dream, I was still at the boarding house, but it looked different, like it had slipped back in time. I found myself in what we called the games room on the ground floor, near the staircase. A girl was there, sitting quietly. She looked about my age, with long, wavy brown hair, wearing a pale, old-fashioned dress that seemed like it belonged to another era. We started talking, and she was friendly, even warm. Somehow, she knew I loved playing the piano and asked if I wanted to play. I felt comforted at first, but as we talked, I noticed something odd. When I asked where her family was, she smiled and said, "My dad has gone to work." "When will he come back?" I asked. She led me down a corridor that was impossibly bright, yet carried a sense of darkness, an ominous feeling I couldn't shake. As I followed her, a realization hit me. She's not alive. My heart started pounding, but the girl looked so real, so solid. How could she be a ghost? When I woke up the next morning, I told my roommates about the dream, expecting them to laugh it off, but instead, they gave me uneasy glances. That's when they admitted something I hadn't known. I wasn't the first person to have a strange encounter in that dormitory. In fact, it was the reason none of them had taken the bed by the door. Apparently, others had experienced odd things when staying in that spot. They mentioned stories about a ghostly girl seen in the bathroom, though none of them had witnessed it personally. After that, I couldn't stop thinking about the dream. But things stayed quiet for the rest of that year. And when I moved to a different room on the top floor, the unsettling feeling faded. It wasn't until my final year at the school, when I was assigned to the same dormitory again, that everything came rushing back. This time, there were no roommates to share the room with. It was just me. And despite the lingering unease, I chose the same bed as before, near the blocked-off fireplace. One quiet evening, most of the other girls had gone out for a cinema trip or were staying with friends. Only three of us remained in the house, so I decided to watch a movie with the staff member on duty. Partway through, I realized I'd forgotten something upstairs, probably a drink, so I ran up the stairs to grab it. As I reached the top of the staircase, I heard it. A series of strange, intermittent noises, click, clog, knock. The sounds were coming from the direction of my room and the nearby bathroom. At first, I thought maybe someone had broken in through the open windows in my room, so I grabbed something solid to defend myself and crept toward the dormitory door. My heart was racing, but I felt like I had to check. I swung the door open and hit the light switch. "Who's there?" I called out, but there was no response. No one was in the room. The noises, however, kept going. That's when I realized the sound wasn't coming from my room. It was coming from the bathroom. With my heart pounding, I turned toward the bathroom. There were no windows in there, so the idea of someone sneaking inside seemed unlikely. Still, I crept toward the door, trying to stay as calm as possible. When I opened it, I called out softly, "Hello? Is anyone there?" The bathroom was empty. All the stall doors stood open, revealing nothing unusual. But the sound persisted coming from one of the two shower stalls. The doors were translucent, so I could see there was no one inside, but one of the showers was on. The water sprayed wildly, the shower head dancing against the tiles, creating that strange clog, clink, knock sound. I stepped closer to turn the water off, thinking maybe someone had accidentally left it running. But the moment I opened the stall door, a blast of cold air hit me, sharp, forceful, and angry. It was unlike anything I'd ever felt. It wasn't just cold air. It felt furious. It was as though I had interrupted something, like someone or something was enjoying a moment I wasn't supposed to disrupt. Shivers ran down my spine, and I felt a deep, instinctive fear, like the presence in that room wanted me to leave immediately. I hurried back to the dormitory, trying to make sense of what had just happened. I told the two other girls who were still in the house, but neither of them had used the shower that day. Both denied leaving it on, and their confusion only made the whole situation more unsettling. I tried to push the incident to the back of my mind, but later that night, something even stranger happened. While I was sitting on my bed, chatting with a friend online to calm my nerves, I noticed a figure out of the corner of my eye. It was her, the girl from my dream. She stood by the door, close to one of the desks, her translucent form flickering like static on an old TV. Her height was that of a 12-year-old, and her feet seemed to sink slightly into the floor. But what struck me most was the expression on her face. It was a mixture of anger, sadness, and something else. Disappointment, maybe? I didn't move. I just stared at her from the corner of my eye, too afraid to look directly at her. And then, in the blink of an eye, she darted across the room in a straight line, disappearing through the wall near the blocked fireplace. That encounter haunted me more than anything else. I couldn't shake the feeling that the girl had been trying to tell me something. When I mentioned it to the girl in the next room, she told me about a strange dream she'd had while sleeping in my bed the previous year. In her dream, she was trying to save a baby girl during a war, but she didn't know why. It felt real to her, though, like she was meant to protect the child. The more I thought about it, the more everything began to fit together. The old-fashioned dress, the mention of the girl's father going off to war. Maybe she was stuck in time, waiting for someone to save her, just as the dream suggested. It made sense in a way that was hard to explain, but it didn't make the situation any less frightening. One night, as I stood near my bed, lost in thought about the ghost girl, I felt a sudden tug on my hair. Two sharp pulls, as if someone was standing right behind me. I froze, my heart racing, but I didn't react. I pretended nothing had happened, and from that night on, the girl never pulled my hair again. The strange events didn't stop entirely, though. In the bathroom, the light bulbs in the toilet stalls began burning out in a weird cycle. One bulb would blow, get replaced, and 2 weeks later, another would go out. This pattern continued for weeks, as if the spirit was still lingering, leaving behind subtle signs of her presence. Eventually, my time at the boarding school came to an end, and I left the dormitory for good. I haven't heard any new stories about the ghost girl, so I assume no one else has encountered her since, but even now, years later, I can't stop wondering about her. Was she truly a lost soul waiting for someone to save her? Or was she simply looking for someone to acknowledge her existence just once before she could rest? Whatever the truth may be, I'll never forget that little girl. She may have been trapped in the past, but for a brief moment she made her presence known. And I'll carry that memory with me for the rest of my life. Thanks for reading, Tony. If you have any thoughts on what might have been going on, I'd love to hear them. All the best, Emma. Well, folks, that was a heavy one. Emma's story reminds us that not all ghosts are out to scare the living. Some might just be lingering, waiting, hoping for a connection that never quite comes. What strikes me most here is the subtlety of the haunting. This wasn't a poltergeist throwing furniture or a shadow figure lurking in the dark. It was something softer, sadder. A child stuck between the past and the present, trying to leave behind small clues that she was still there. Now, from a psychological standpoint, you've got to wonder, could Emma's experiences have been the product of suggestion? She was already warned that strange things had happened in that dormitory before, and we all know how powerful the mind can be when primed with expectation. Maybe the noises, the flickering lights, and even the tug on her hair were her mind's way of processing the unease she felt. But here's the thing. How do you explain that dream about the war? Or the fact that another girl sleeping in the same bed had an eerily similar vision about saving a baby? And what about the girl's expression? That flicker of anger, sadness, and disappointment. Emotions far too complex to be chalked up to imagination alone. Let's take a step into the paranormal side of things. What if this girl really is a spirit caught in some kind of time loop? Maybe she's reliving her last moments, waiting for someone to save her, but no one ever comes. That would explain the frustration, the way she pulled Emma's hair, like a child throwing a tantrum because she feels forgotten. And those flickering lights, classic spirit behavior. Light bulbs are like catnip for ghosts. Something about energy and electrical currents just draws them in. Or maybe, just maybe, this little girl wasn't looking to be saved at all. Maybe all she needed was to be seen, just once by someone who wouldn't run away screaming. Emma gave her that moment by not reacting with fear, by simply acknowledging her without trying to banish her. Emma might have given the girl exactly what she needed to rest. So what do you do when you come face to face with a spirit like this? Do you try to help it move on? Or do you quietly coexist, hoping that someday it will find the peace it's searching for? I guess there's no right answer. But I will say this. If you ever feel a tug on your hair in the middle of the night, it might be worth looking around. You never know who's waiting for a second chance. I'm Tony Bruschi. And if there's one thing Emma's story teaches us, it's that sometimes the dead just want to be remembered. Sleep tight, folks, and maybe, just maybe, leave a light on.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.